gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kanye West is a jackass. Is this on?
That was supposed to be off the record.
I am so sorry. I didn't realize we were on already. It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. The president called Kanye West a dirty name.
That's funny.
Those damn tweeters these days. You're the official tweeter of the Stephanie Miller Show, Chris.
Yes, I am. Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
Oh, those pesky pre-interview comments. That being said, Kanye West is a jackass.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And you know what?
So he was getting ready to do an interview.
Yeah.
And his mic was on, obviously, but he wasn't
he was getting on yet.
But someone overheard it, and then they tweeted it.
He was getting ready to do an interview with CNBC, but ABC News shares that same, you know, digital line. And
right.
So ABC News overheard it. And Terry Moran from ABC News tweeted that.
Yeah.
So
much like during our commercial breaks, Harry Shearer somewhere probably has that feed, and we are screwed if
yes.
he ever chooses to release that.
You know what, though? I'm kind of happy that President Obama pays enough attention to pop culture
yes.
to know that Kanye West was, yes. in fact, a jackass.
Don't you love it that when truth accidentally seeps out, then people are like, the president, oh, well, he is a jackass.
Yeah.
All right. It's just, but that's not, you know, it's, you're going, oh, but a president doesn't say that.
Presidents have said a lot worse.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
Nixon.
Those tapes leaked out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How's about that? Mama, oh, by
the
way.
Get me the Jews, Henry.
By the way, John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire, will be sitting in for Mama tomorrow with the Mooks.
Yeah.
Because I will be going to speak to the fine Americans at the Laborers International Union of North America.
Uh-huh.
Woo-hoo! In Orlando. Guess who I have to follow?
Who?
I think he spoke today, the best pundit in the world, Paul Begala.
Oh, really?
Try to follow that. It's like the time I had to follow Maxine Waters.
See if you can book Paul for Friday.
Okay, well,
yeah.
I don't think he's still there. I think he'll be flying
in.
And now then, I'm going to speak to the Laborers International Union of North America in Orlando.
And then you're coming back for Friday's show.
extra crispy.
You are coming back for Friday's show.
Yes.
Okay.
And clearly, because Disney World's there, I will be flying Screaming Baby Airlines, as I know. So I will be extra biatchy.
Great.
Friday morning, I will have an extra bowl of Carnation Instant Bitch. Okay.
It's a cup or glass.
Yes. Here's the, by the way, the extra fun fact about the Laborers International Union of North America that I'm going to speak to in Orlando.
What?
85% male. It's going to be like Fleet Week all over again for Mama.
I think you're going to get some.
I think so, too. I want to be this woman. Faye has sent me a future husband stack. Malaysian woman, 107, fears hubby number 22 will leave her.
Oh.
I'm a little behind the times.
Yeah.
Afraid that her husband will leave her for a younger woman, 107-year-old Malaysian woman is looking to marry again for the 23rd time. Wak Kundor is her name. She has been happily married for 4 years to her husband, a man 70 years her junior. Since he left their village, he went to rehab. She has had a gnawing feeling. A friend says she's worried that he might not come back after his program and find himself a younger wife. Oh, if so, Wak has her eyes set on a 50-year-old man, but hopes that it does not come to that.
Hmm.
You go, sister.
I think Kundor means cougar.
All right. Hey, go look us back, kids. It's Right Wing World. Let's do it.
Step right up. Get your Republican talking points. Get your peanut-sized brains. Your brain must be this Kundor to go on this ride.
You got nothing.
I haven't done this in a while.
With the Glenn Becks of the world getting crazier and crazier, and by the way, our right-wing callers, like the one yesterday,
mm-hmm.
crazier and crazier. Joe Wilson, was he reading from a script? Joe Wilson is a hero, and I just sent money to him.
I'm going to send $1 million to him.
What kind of dopes are those people in this economy?
Yeah.
He just talked about how much cash. He FedExed Joe Wilson a bunch of cash.
You are an idiot.
Could not be prouder.
I hope he starts up another war of northern aggression, which is contradictory.
I believe that was, yes, that was on the check. They wrote that on the
yeah.
check. For, subject line, for War of Northern Aggression.
That's attack what this Fort is for. Sumter again in the War of Northern Aggression?
What?
What?
Well, all right.
Compared to Argentina, but...
You know what's the most fun thing about Right Wing World?
What?
Teeny tiny voice Republican pundit with a great big vision for America, Terry Gentry. Because you know why? Because Joe Wilson is manly enough for Terry Jeffrey.
What?
He frequently tells Democrats they need to man up.
Oh, yes.
And Joe Wilson, not apologizing, manly.
I think the Democrats have seriously overplayed their hand here, and I think they've given Joe Wilson an opportunity to keep driving this. If I were him, what I would do tomorrow is send a letter to every Democrat in the House of Representatives and to the President and say, Mr. President, I'm sincerely sorry I broke the House rules. I should have said that about you on the House floor. However, I do believe you're lying about your health care plan. Let me spell out the ways. Boom. Release that to the press and get a national debate with these guys on whether President Obama was telling the truth. He was stating falsehoods in his speech last Wednesday night.
That's your
boo.
Booyah. Okay.
You lied.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd
be
good.
That's going to help Democratic fundraising.
Yeah, that'd be good. What'd you, put it in writing now.
Yeah.
Mr. President, you're a liar.
You're a liar. See, it's much better in print.
Because I scrawled in crayon
it's
here.
Much manlier.
Boom.
Boom. Pow.
That was whack. That was like a Batman scene on, like, sped up. Like, you know what? I'm trying to realize like what he said. He sounds like something sped up a little. Like what? Because there's a weird intonation to it. Like Dr. Evil, he has that weird sort of
He has a weird like Southern accent-ish type thing going on. That
play that one again. I have it's.
I think the Democrats have seriously overplayed their hand here, and I think they've given Joe Wilson an opportunity to keep driving this. If I were him, what I would do tomorrow.
It's just like, I would like tomorrow. I would like to do friggin' trucks with laser
Hampton
beams.
Roads thing.
It sounds like a Hampton Roads accent, which
frickin',
is where
I would
I'm
like
from.
$1 million and some friggin' socks. All right, Terry Jeffrey again on that. Jim, you know, that thing in the Less Than a Million Loon March in Washington, that was a, as you know, massive grassroots blah, blah, blah.
Right.
There's a massive grassroots movement in this country. You saw it in the town hall meetings. You saw it in the tens of thousands in front of the Capitol on Saturday who are speaking out, who say they do not want this plan. Many of them believe, as I do, that on some of these issues, President
Obama said, Donna,
there's no leadership.
Quickly,
No! Oh, wow, he's getting hysterical.
No leadership. It just happened spontaneously.
He was going Orly Tate.
They just found all those buses.
He was going Orly Tate's on
their
ass.
Let me finish. I want to see the buses come again. Let me finish.
No. He was screaming like a little girl in
he
that
really
one.
He really was.
Yeah, all those buses and pre-produced signs just materialized.
By the way, have you
nowhere,
seen that? Right? All these signs were like pre-produced by right-wing organizations and handed
like
out
Freedom Works.
And made to look like they were homemade.
Yeah.
Please. Or I have to hear that one again, too. I'm sorry. Oh. I haven't heard my Terry Jeffrey in quite some time. He really is.
You missed him, didn't you?
He was like someone stepped on a poodle's foot in this one.
There's a massive grassroots movement in this country. You saw it in the town hall meetings. You saw it in the tens of thousands in front of the Capitol on Saturday who are speaking out, who say they do not want this plan. Many of them believe, as I do, that on some of these issues, President
Obama... All right, Donna.
There's no leadership.
Quickly.
No leadership. Shut up, Wolf. I'm talking. I'm talking. Let me finish. I had a bad experience on Fox the other day. So, take the win.
Dave in Atlanta says the jackass thing shows the president has street cred. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I've often said, hands down, Obama is the coolest president we've ever had. I think he's just plain spoken. He gives soaring speeches, of course, but when he's in town halls or press conferences and stuff, he's very plain spoken. He's easygoing. He does know pop culture. He knows when a cop arrests you at your home. He's acting stupidly. And he's awesome. He's just, that's the guy I want to have a beer with.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Dave. That's what I hate when there's this fake outrage. You know, when he says something that you know everybody is saying behind closed doors that's the truth. It is stupid to arrest a guy in his own home that's already shown ID. Kanye West is a jackass. I mean, then we have to all go, oh my God, that's so unpresidential.
I know. Can I add one more quick thing?
Yes.
I'm so personally frustrated about this rally in Washington last week because I went to an anti-war rally back in 2006 or something, and there was an estimated like 350,000 people there. It was so inspiring. And I called home, and I said, did you see me? Did you see me? Did you see us? Nothing. It might as well have not happened for the lack of coverage there was anywhere. And why is this getting so much coverage? It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, well, because it's the because that's why Right Wing World is back, because of Right Wing World. Because, I mean, it really is, there is rarely anything true. Mm-hmm. They just, it literally is like a game of telephone every day. The number gets bigger.
Yeah.
Like now there were apparently more than 2 million people there, Jim. What?
There were 7 billion people on the mall.
And we, I mean, isn't
it was counted by some university that I've forgotten the name of.
Yeah, Capitol, what do you call it? The Capitol Police is kind of the, I mean, that's kind of the standard. Again, it's impossible to count exactly.
Right.
But everybody's saying, most reputable news organizations are saying about the same. It was like,
about 60,
couldn't have been, right, couldn't have been any more than 60,000 physically in that space. It's just, but they got to lie
they
even about that.
They can count the streets, you know. They're numbered.
Yeah.
Trust me, I was at the inauguration. You saw those pictures. We were packed in like sardines.
Right.
You saw this. It was kind of sparse the way they were spread out. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of people, but it's, you know.
And there was another event going on at that same time for something completely different.
So
even the 60,000
is overstated.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are more people probably at the other event than
that is entirely possible.
Yeah, there were a bunch of people going, hey, who are those lunatics?
And if,
what are the people with the hoods doing over there?
And I know you guys haven't watched the Fox News coverage of it, but
I have.
And they're all like really tight shots.
Yeah, of course.
You know, they could have easily put a camera on like the museum or something like that to show the entire mall. They didn't do that.
Yeah.
They don't want you to see the individual buildings.
Right,
right. And you might have inadvertently seen too many, you know, Confederate flags and
swastikas.
Swastikas and other racist signs. Okay. Charles Krauthammer, so they, what you call it, rebuked Joe Wilson yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Thank you. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear. About that.
This is obviously a Democratic stunt as a way to take attention away from the health care debate. They are losing.
No.
And every day that they don't have to speak about the specifics of a plan, the more it's examined, the more it loses support. This is a good day for the Democrats, so this was a good afternoon for the Democrats.
So you got it completely backwards.
Yes.
Wow.
All the polling yesterday obviously showing the president's approval rating, the approval for health care going up in the wake of his speech. Once again, it's just weird. It's like everything is the opposite of what's true in Right Wing World.
That's why it's back. Welcome back, Right Wing World. We missed ye. We're kicking it old school.
Oh, boy. Okay, Megyn Kelly on O'Reilly on the whole... I mean, I kept thinking yesterday if this was reversed. Can you imagine if this was a Republican president? Are they that disingenuous? Are they really saying there wouldn't be a peep out of the right if a Democratic congressman had screamed out at a Republican president like this? Megyn Kelly.
Our lawmakers have a lot of important things to be dealing with right now. And instead of dealing with them, they decided to take to the floor, engage in this back and forth, which has taken up the national media cycle for several days,
to talk about whether
he needed to apologize to the people who were present for the comment.
But now,
the target of the comment has already said apology accepted.
They're a little strident on the Fox News.
Yes. They're getting angry. They're a little panicked, I think, because the numbers are going in the wrong direction again. Oh, crap.
Hey, Fox Bimbo, here's the deal, by the way. The House bills are already pretty much done, the health care thing.
Yeah.
They're waiting for the Senate. So they are pretty much done with that. I said yesterday with the you have to do it. You have to create some sort of precedent or rules in there.
Right.
Anyway, all right. So 20 minutes after the hour, back with a skosh more Right Wing World. Oh, but it's delicious, the last few drops.
Oh, yes, it is.
It has extra nudie. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Representative Donna Edwards of the great state of Maryland coming up in just a few minutes on the Celebrity Hotline. Eric in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the rally. But first of all, President Carter's comments, I think, were right on, dead on. It's about time somebody had the guts to come up and say what these people are all about at these rallies on the right wing. Because I saw some of the signs at the rally on Saturday, and they were sickening. One of them said...
Eric, for people that have just tuned in, former President Carter said that Joe Wilson's outburst was based on racism.
Right. Absolutely. And I think Wilson was and his colleagues on the right. And then you see these people, one of the signs at the rally talked about comparing Obama to zoo animals. Is that not racist? What about one that said, I came unarmed this time? These people are off the far right wing nutcases.
Yeah. Yep.
And Fox News is encouraging them.
Well,
they're encouraging violence.
You know, and all these blowhards, Eric, you know, the Republicans go to the House floor yesterday. This is ridiculous. It's racism. Blah, blah. Yeah, he didn't yell the N-word. But, Eric, you're exactly right. You have to put this in context. This is the first time in our history this has ever happened.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
By someone who's belonged to, what's the name of the organization, Jim, son of Confederate, whatever, who's been a Strom Thurmond fan. It's like, come on. No, that kind of disrespect has not been shown to any president in our history. And exactly, we got to start kidding ourselves. All right. Nudie on the Hannity show on healthcare, frankly.
I believe it will turn out to be catastrophic for the Democrats. If they try to pass reforming 17 or 18% of the economy under a rule which is designed for budget votes, I am told that unless they totally destroy the rules of the Senate, there are so many points of order that it can't possibly be intelligent or coherent by the time they're done with that process. So I think they're faced with a genuine crisis of what they're going to do in the Senate.
Hey, Jim, you know what occurs to me? That whatever it is he warns us not to do, that's probably exactly what we should do.
I think
that's probably,
whatever you do, don't do your threatened segregation and ram this through. That would be a disaster. Cats and dogs sleeping with each other. For Christ's sake, biblical proportions, frankly.
Yeah,
GTK. Let me write that down. Okay.
Thanks
Nudie. Okay.
It's amazing to me that when the left hated George W. Bush, when they booed him during the State of the Union, when MoveOn.org attacked him relentlessly, when Democrats used vicious language, somehow it wasn't inappropriate.
Vicious language. It wasn't on the floor of the Senate,
thank you,
dweeb.
Thank you. That's exactly
moron.
It.
He's a jackass. And a liar.
Your microphone is on.
Oh, sorry.
I'm tweeting that to everybody.
You don't know how to tweet.
Well, if I did.
I'll tweet it. How about that?
Anyway, yeah.
You can't handle
did you
tweet.
See all the ridiculous analogies all over television yesterday? First of all, we're not even talking about, yes, there's always been booing or whatever in speeches. That's not, everybody that saw this, you know, it's like that line about, I don't know what, you know, obscenity is, but I'm not, you know, I know it, I don't know how to define it, but I know it when I see it. Anyone that saw this knows this is different than anything that's ever happened.
And it was orchestrated.
And people talked about, oh, Harry Reid said this once, or Nancy, but it's not yelling it on the floor of the House directly at the president. I mean, that's... okay. And I'm not, and by the way, I'm not defending anything any Democrat is ever saying. I'm not saying that makes it right.
Right.
But this is, you know, people that saw this know why it's different. All right. Let's go to Peter in Philly real quick. Hey, Pete, go ahead.
Stephanie, how are you?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
You know, and we need to remind the Republicans, and Joe Wilson in particular, that this issue about illegal immigrants supposedly getting access to health care and hospitals was passed in a bill signed by Ronald Reagan.
Oh, there you go again, using the Reagan ray against them. Representative Donna Edwards next on the Celebrity Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Are you mad?
Computer says yes.
33 minutes after the hour, joined by Representative Donna Edwards of the great state of Maryland. Good morning. We would like to give you a special Stephanie Miller Show commendation instead of a rebuke. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. We've already had to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, I felt like, you know, I agreed with Mr. Clyburn and others that you have to set a precedent here, don't you? I absolutely think you guys did the right thing yesterday.
Well, I think we did, and I think there are some people who say, well, it was a distraction. It wasn't a distraction from health care. We're going to do health care. We're going to do the other issues that are before us. But the problem is that if we hadn't actually expressed our disapproval for following the rules, then we just opened the door for more of that kind of behavior on the floor of the United States House of Representatives, and that's unacceptable.
Well, exactly, Congresswoman. And the other thing is, I think Steny Hoyer had said yesterday, he could have avoided this. You know, all you have to do is go to the House floor. This is the body that he did this in that he needs to apologize to. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Well, I mean, the easiest thing really for him to have done, and which we all would have accepted, would have been him coming voluntarily to the House floor and making the apology to the institution. This isn't about persons and personalities. This is about an offense to a constitutional officer, an offense to the president on the floor of the House of Representatives. It really is about our process. And he could have avoided all of this, Mr. Wilson, by simply going to the floor of the House and offering an apology. And others have done that in the past. It's rare, but it has happened. He could have done that, saved us all the time and the trouble, and we could move on. Well, we're going to move on now anyway, but he received the disapproval of the House.
Well, that's the other such disingenuous thing, isn't it, Congresswoman, that they say, oh, this is, like Congress is not capable of doing anything else for the, couple of hours this took. We're not going to get health care done because we demand a certain level of respect in this body.
Well, one of the reasons, frankly, that people elect us is because we're multitaskers. And so we were capable of doing that yesterday. I actually spent 3 hours discussing health care yesterday. So I wasn't, and my colleagues, along with our leadership and our speaker, we weren't distracted at all from the job at hand. But we still got to keep order in the House.
Well, absolutely. I think what kills you is can you imagine if this were reversed? If, any of you had done that to President Bush during a speech, the right wing would have been apoplectic, don't you think?
Well, I think so. And I mean, I sometimes sit in the speaker's chair on her behalf, and I listen to some of the most specious arguments out there. But my job in that chair is to listen respectfully to those arguments, to manage the debate on the floor so that people can engage responsibly and respectfully. And that's not what happened. And so, and our kids look at this. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me up to the galleries to watch the proceedings. This is actually really important, and we'll move on, and we'll move on with order and with rules and with others of our colleagues knowing that that kind of disruption won't be tolerated in the people's House.
Congresswoman Edwards, obviously what everybody's talking about today is former President Carter talking about Representative Wilson's outburst, was clearly an act based on racism. And, I think it's something that we can't ignore when you look at these rallies and the signs that we're seeing and some of the comments that are being made. And the fact that, I'm sorry, he may not have yelled something racist, but this is the first time this has happened in our history, and this is the first time we've had a black president. I think it's something we do have to talk about, don't you?
Well, I mean, the thing for me is that, this was about the office of the president and about the institution. And whether it was President Obama or any other president, that is behavior that's unacceptable, and we had to sanction it. I think that clearly the president was elected with a majority an overwhelming majority of voters in this country, and they span the races and cultures and all of the kinds of differences that people have. And so we know that whatever, if there are those racist voices out there, that they are not majority voices. That much we do know.
Yep. Well, I think one thing that can unite us of all races is that Kanye West is a jackass, don't you think?
Well, don't put her on the spot.
I mean, again, yet another act of just, total silliness and disrespect. I mean, I just,
I'm not even a parent, though.
We've gone over the top here, right, in terms of the way that deal with each other, and it really has to just, I mean, somebody, a friend of mine always tells me when I get really excited, power down. We all need to power down.
Yes,
exactly.
Absolutely.
We need to reboot for a minute, Congresswoman.
Right.
No, but that's exactly it. It's funny. Maybe I just feel old. I'm not even a parent, but I'm like, what? You can't teach till this is okay. You can't scream at the president on television. You can't run on stage during an award ceremony.
We tolerate. know, the irony is that if you asked 95% of kindergartners in this country, they'd say, oh, you're not supposed to do that, because they know they can't do that in a classroom.
Yeah,
so clearly we can't do it on the House of Representatives. Clearly we can't do it.
Yeah, there were five-year-olds.
On a stage.
Right, so there were five-year-olds
really
that knew Joe
over the top.
That knew Joe Wilson was going to have to get a timeout. They're like, oh, that's no.
Exactly.
Oh, no, he didn't. All right, so let's talk about health care, because we are obviously are getting on with the people's business. You know, it does my heart good when I read a headline, Democrats push for public health care option. Where are we on this? I marinate in this every day, Congresswoman, and I can't figure out. Say again? I'm sorry, so go ahead.
I think we're in a really good place.
Good.
Okay.
Did you get that?
Yes.
We're in an excellent place right now. I mean, I feel really good about where we are. I mean, it's really exciting. I was actually really skeptical coming out of August, you know, going into August without doing it. And I actually feel like we've been emboldened and empowered because of what we heard from the public. And, you know, can you imagine any other issue where you just beat it and beat it and beat it and it still has overwhelming majority support?
Yeah.
And that's where the public health option is right now. So that, to me, tells us that it's time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously, it looks like what we're going to get out of this Senate Finance Committee is this co-op thing, you know. But what are you saying, that when they blend all the bills, there is still a chance that there is going to be some sort of public option?
Absolutely, and there are still so many of us in the House of Representatives and also in the Senate who are fighting for this. I heard Senator Harkin on the floor of the Senate the other day, you know, saying, hey, wait a second, don't assume there's not going to be a public option in the final bill just because we do a certain piece of work here in the Senate. And so I am really optimistic. I think the more that the President and members of Congress get out into our districts and talk to people about what it is and allay some of the fears and debunk the myths that have been put out there about all of the things that we're doing,
right,
on healthcare reform, people overwhelmingly go, you know what, we have to do something. And it makes sense for us to actually have a choice, a real choice and real competition.
Absolutely. Well, Representative Edwards, certainly, you know, the polling is showing that, you know, the president's speech certainly went a long way toward doing that. Obviously, his numbers are up, the health, you know, numbers on healthcare reform are up. So, you know, I think you're right. Listen, I have to talk about this every day, and I'm sick to death of it. So if you could just get it done, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, stop.
Because I think you're right. It's like
I'll tell you this. We are going to get it done. I mean, that's where we are going to get it done, because all of us know that it has to happen, and we don't want to go back home. I don't want to even go back into my district and say, you know what, we failed on health care, and so it's going to be a success.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. By the way, I heard you had to pull over because it's illegal, right, in Maryland to talk. You have to be on a headset, right?
You have to be on a headset, and even then it's distracting, so I want to be safe.
Yes,
all right.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm just saying it would be good publicity for the Stephanie Miller Show if you were to get arrested while we were talking. It would be, come on, it would get us both press, Representative. We could make a 24-hour news cycle.
You know, Stephanie, I can do a lot of favors. I'm not doing you that.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Edwards.
Representative Donna Edwards, doing the people's work from the great state of Maryland. Thank you so much, Congresswoman. Thank you. All right.
She probably has more important things than going to traffic school.
Yeah.
I had to go to comedy traffic school because of Stephanie Miller. Great. Like, that was worth it.
Have you ever had to go to traffic school?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
Even for that ticket you got for talking on your cell phone?
No, that's just a ticket. You don't have to do nothing for that.
All right.
Okay.
I think that's a moving violation, isn't
yep.
it?
Yeah.
Because you're moving, and it's a violation.
Perhaps I need to check into that.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's a little too late.
Maybe you have a warrant out for your arrest. Oh, no.
Well, thank God that hasn't gotten out on the public airwaves anywhere.
Jackass.
Exactly. By the way, the cop that gave it to me was a...
Oh,
42
dear.
Minutes oh, after the... 42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Not if Kanye has his way. It was a he thing suddenly. In the middle of a she thing, it became a he thing.
Exactly. You see how you are? 47 minutes after the hour. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm one of our favorite, Representative Virginia Fox.
Doesn't she have
a lovely hairdo? Yes, Tim.
She does have a gray hairdo. It's like following some old lady in a Cadillac. You just want to ram up a road.
Yes.
I
can't believe she just, oh my God, as a black person who disagrees with Barack Obama, I thought they all agreed.
Yeah.
It's like a typical stereotype that thinks that all African Americans think alike, they act alike, and they are alike, and it's not true. And I can't believe, you know, if there is any more proof that a lot of these Republicans are trying to inject race into every issue, it's not the Democrats who are doing it, it's obviously the Republicans. She put in that article, the person who said it, and also an African American, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we have an African American, well, I consider him, he's American, who has African descent.
Yep.
Here in Milwaukee, actually, J.T. Harris, who was constantly talking about John McCain, voting for McCain, was on stage with McCain. He does not agree with things with Miss Virginia Fox. It was completely wrong as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Hear about that?
What?
She said, look, a black person, basically, look, a black person disagrees with Obama. Yeah, and... You know, she was quoting Thomas Sowell, who, you know, is African American. Thomas Sowell is a conservative writer.
It's almost as if they had minds of their own.
Right. She had to point out that, he's black.
Yet he doesn't agree with him.
That has nothing to do.
It's so unlike her to be indelicate.
That I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the one that said Matthew Shepard was not killed because he was gay. Mm-hmm. That's a whole hoax thing.
Yeah, it's a
hoax. It was a robbery. Or...
One colored fella disagreeing with another? That's news to me. By gum. And she looks like Margaret Hamilton.
She does.
No, just insult to Margaret Hamilton.
Yes, yeah. We apologize. Okay, lawmakers voted yesterday to admonish one of their own for his jarring interruption of President Obama. Republicans accused the majority party of hypocrisy.
Hmm.
Why? I can go back through history and prove why that's not so.
Yeah.
Would you like some historical fun facts about that?
Sure.
If Joe Wilson is finding parliamentary procedure to be a bit of a nuisance in the wake of his "you lie" attack on President Obama, he has his Republican forebears to thank.
Hmm.
Oh, that's so weird and so...
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
In 1985, Representative Robert Walker, a Pennsylvania Republican who beat the drum for decorum through his 20 years in the House, took issue with Representative James Traficant for saying that then-President Ronald Reagan had deceived the senior citizens of the United States. Is it not a violation of the rules of the House to question the motives of the president and refer to him as being someone who lies? Walker asked on the floor. The gentleman is correct, agreed then-Speaker Democrat Tip O'Neill.
Ugh.
It is not proper. O'Neill ordered that Traficant's offending remarks be stricken from the record and directed the congressman to revise his remarks. In 1986, Walker demanded that the words of Representative Ed Markey, Democrat of Massachusetts, be taken down after Markey said that hypocrisy had characterized Reagan's handling of arms control, which was also
true. Well, I think
true.
There was hypocrisy in the arms control. I think that was clear.
All right.
As clear as the big dig. You can't miss it.
Steny Hoyer said that issue is whether we are able to proceed with the degree of civility and decorum that our rules and our democracy contemplate and require. Joe Wilson yesterday on the floor of Congress.
There are far more important issues facing this nation than what we're addressing right now.
Mm-hmm.
The president said the time for games is over. I agree with the president. He graciously accepted my apology, and the issue is over.
Not at that point, it wasn't.
It's over when we say it's over.
It passed 240 to 179, marks the first time in the 220-year history of the House that a member has been admonished for speaking out while the president was giving an address, because it's the first time that anyone's ever done that.
Yeah.
You see.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Steny Hoyer also pointed out Mr. Wilson could have resolved this himself by speaking directly to his House colleagues. I love this one. The Boner, House Republican Leader Boner, he said that he described the resolution as a witch hunt.
God.
It wasn't hard to find Joe Wilson. Yeah. He's the one in the hood.
Oh.
Someone really a witch hunt. Didn't really take long. That guy. That redneck there.
A witch hunt implies that you're looking for something that is hidden.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was right out there.
Thank you.
It was on TV.
Yeah. Oh, that guy. Here it is on tape.
It was on every single channel. Except for Fox, which are showing Boner, so you can dance.
Boner went on to say, my goodness, we could be doing this every day of the week.
My goodness. They would be doing it as often as I offer the undercoating to someone here. Have a Rob Roy or five. Reply my bronzer.
What's in a Rob Roy again?
I don't remember.
I think bitters are in it.
No,
yeah,
no.
Well, we only have to do this every day of the week if some Republican...
I think it's a Scotch and Drambuie or something.
Blah!
Drambuie.
It's not often you talk about Drambuie at this hour, but okay. Representative Wilson again.
Today was a low day in terms of how the political process, and this truly was a game of no meaning. And so now we need to put this behind us, and persons should be working for health insurance reform.
Mm.
If only Rachel Maddow here.
Wait
she
a minute.
All that
now he's concerned about health insurance reform?
Yes. Yes. He wants to have a civil discussion. Why can't we have a civil discussion on health care reform?
Well, let me just say,
you lie!
What's clogging up the works here? Okay, the boner.
Wow.
The boner.
I think this is a sad day for the House of Representatives. I think that this is nothing more than a partisan stunt aimed at trying to divert people's attention from the real issue that the American people want to talk, and that's talk about health care.
Oh, suddenly they want to talk about health care.
Oh, no. He said it's a sad day. Does that mean it was another boner crying fit on the...
It should be on the top of our list!
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
I can't believe this resolution is the top of our list today.
I love you, man.
It's a sad day.
You're the top of my list.
Mark in Durham, North Carolina on Joe Wilson. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Over 1 million people heard Joe Wilson disrespect the President of the United States in the House chamber. Nobody heard him apologize except Rahm Emanuel.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't believe I'm the one saying, won't someone think of the children? But do you know how many people are watching at home with their kids? Is that okay? I don't care who the president is. Yes, thank you. It's me.
Somebody please think of the children.
Am I right, Mark? I mean, you can't, how did we, you know, you can't have a society like this. You can't tell me that, you know, parents aren't sitting there, whether it's Kanye West or Joe Wilson, and go, that's not okay.
Exactly. It's like the back page retraction, only worse. Because all we heard him say was that the GOP leadership forced him to move his lips, and that he didn't want to apologize to anybody else.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Ken, my right-wing love muffin in Pennsylvania, says all Democrats are liars. Hello, Ken.
How you doing? You know what? I think we can establish a pattern here that somebody makes an allegation, even though I don't agree with what Joe did. They make an allegation. Right away, the left wing comes out and says, you're racist. And then
he's in a group called Son of the Confederate, whatever the name of that is. And he also made some racist comments about Strom Thurmond.
Well, I don't know about all that. But
Well, he did.
We do. That is documented.
Strom Thurmond admitted to fathering a black child, and Joe Wilson called that a smear against him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he truly believed that's what it was at the time. I really don't know.
Strom Thurmond admitted that he fathered a black child.
Yeah, so it's not a smear.
Okay, fine. And that resolved it, I guess.
Why would it be a bad thing to have a black child is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know that it is. I don't, you know, that's not what I'm calling about.
Oh, okay. But, sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off there.
Right away, then there's the accusations of racism when you try to attack the person's death. And then they go into...
Ken, there are some blatantly racist signs at these anti-Obama rallies, and this has never happened in our history. You don't think that there's some connection?
You get a million people together, you're going to find some signs.
Except it wasn't a million. It wasn't a million.
Near a million. Or 60,000.
Because I've been to anti-war rallies.
You have? You've been to anti-war rallies?
You have.
I most certainly have in Washington, D.C., and I've seen signs that were way over the edge against George Bush. So,
like
you know, that goes both ways.
Like what, Ken?
Well, you know, hanging them and all kinds of... stuff like that.
That's interesting. I cover the news every day. I don't remember George Bush ever being hung in a war rally, but okay.
Oh, well, yeah, most certainly. You get that many people together, you're going to see signs like that.
Yeah,
and I don't believe...
But not that many.
I see any group of people, Jim.
Oh, sure.
There's going to be signs.
Sure, at Obama rallies I saw racist signs. Hundreds of thousands, millions of them.
Okay.
God.
57 minutes after the hour, Rick Santorum thinks he has a fighting chance against President Obama in 2012. We'll hear about that next in Stand Up News on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know why I feel good. It's Hump Days with Hal.
Oh, yeah.
Hal Sparks will be in live all next hour with us.
And he has some behind-the-scenes Edie McClure gossip.
Really?
He was with her last night.
Who doesn't want to hear that?
He also saw Michael Moore's new movie last night, so he'll tell us about that.
The capitalism thing.
Yes.
I got to hear about that.
Yes.
Standing ovations.
All right.
Canada.
Tom DeLay got an owie on one of his little tiny baby feet. and Dancing with the Stars. We'll hear about that instead of news coming up in a moment. In the meantime, Christian Weller, who is a senior fellow, by the way, at the Center for American Progress and has a lot of fancy book learning, is on the Celebrity Hotline. Hey, Christian, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming on with us. You know, a lot going on, obviously, in the housing market, in the economy in general. But, this caught my ear because, obviously, there's a lot of talk about race lately with, Joe Wilson's outburst and some of these signs at the rally. There's a report out that you talk about the huge racial disparities in lending practices at TARP banks. Tell us about that.
Well, the main point here is that an analysis by one of my colleagues at the Center for American Progress confirms what we have done also in previous studies, that African Americans in particular are essentially paying more. They have a harder time getting loans, and when they get a loan, they pay more than whites and typically than Hispanics.
But Christian, I guess the rub here is these are really upper-income applicants that we're talking about.
That is true. And that disparity holds even if you control for income, for credit scores, for home ownership, and all of that stuff. So, other people would say, that difference can be explained because of worse credit history. No, it can't be. Those differences have persisted over time, and they're often typically indication of credit market steering or credit market discrimination. What is especially galling at this point is that these are banks where the latest study now looks at banks that got TARP money, and what my colleagues and me are calling for is an investigation in the poor lending practices of the banks that have gotten bailout money.
Wow. So let's understand this, because not only are the banks handing out the subprime loans to minorities on a much greater scale, they were also issuing them to a lot of low-risk borrowers, right? Households earning more than twice their area's median income, most of which reported like six-figure incomes at a dizzying rate.
Right, and it's typically twice as much. So you find a much larger share of minority borrowers, typically over 30% for Hispanics and over 40% for African Americans, to pay high-priced mortgages relative to less than 20% of white borrowers. Mm-hmm. And those differences, that gap, that twice as much rate remains even if you look at high income borrowers.
So would you still call it a housing crisis? Where are we right now, would you say?
We still have a housing crisis. We still have massive foreclosures. About 1 in 8 mortgages is either in foreclosure or delinquent. And that's certainly like real crisis territory. We've never been there in 40 years. So I think at this point what we're looking for is two things. First of all, we need to get a handle on the foreclosures so that the crisis doesn't spill over to the homeowners who are doing all the right things. And then the other part is we ultimately need to make sure, as the housing market recovers, that people have a realistic chance of getting into a home and keeping that home in the future. And that's what this credit market study and this credit market research goes to. We want the housing market to recover. We want more homeownership for minorities. And that can only happen on a sustained level if you create a level playing field for minorities and whites in the credit market.
Mm-hmm. What about the economy in general? Because I know, to a lot of us out here, it doesn't seem better. But, I do think that it seems we've averted a huge crisis. I mean, as the president says, maybe a second depression. But what's your take on where we're at in the economy?
Well, I think we're learning that there are three different things, that there's Wall Street, there's the economy, and then there's the labor market. Wall Street is certainly having a party these days, and we see this in some of the bonuses that are being paid out on Wall Street. But the other part is the economy, meaning what businesses are selling. That seems to be leveling off at a very low level, admittedly, but we're at least no longer declining at 6-7% a year. But it's going to be quite a while before that translates into a very strong labor market recovery and job growth. growth that ultimately reduces the unemployment rate. And that's ultimately what we're really looking for. Now, you cannot have the strong labor market recovery without the economy recovering, but I think the focus has to be really on the labor market. That is the indicator. That's the watershed mark we're looking for because we have now close to 10% unemployment. We have the highest long-term unemployment rate since the Great Depression. At this point, over one-third of the unemployed have been out of a job for 27 weeks or longer. So those are indicators that those are the ones we really need to focus on. And that, to get them to improve, we need strong policies, continued policies that get the economy growing again.
Well, I mean, for instance, the president yesterday said obviously spoke to the automakers and said they're getting back in the game, which is true. I mean, you know, obviously some banks are recovering, that automakers are at least getting back in the game, right?
That's true. The banks are lending again. They're like lending cautiously. The automakers are selling stuff. But the question is, will they make new stuff? Will they invest more in factories? Will they hire more people? And rather than using whatever money they're making now to pay bonuses, I mean, I'm not just saying this like because I think that's absolutely appalling, but that's exactly what happened after 2001, that the companies, as soon as they made money, started paying out dividends and repurchasing their own shares and all these other good things that really benefit just a very small group of people.
And they've paid back some of the money, right? Obviously, the banks.
The banks are beginning to pay back. Citibank is now also looking, Citicards is looking into how they can repay the money, largely because it means that once you get the government away from the ownership of the banks, the government no longer has a say of how much money is being paid to the executives.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could, you know, cold call them during dinner and ask why the payments aren't coming in on a more timely basis to the taxpayers?
Well, to some degree, it's a double-edged sword. We would like to get our money back. That's certainly one thing. But we also, I think, want to emphasize the point that the money has to go to real investments. It has to go to hiring people. And that's the question we should ask them at dinner, is like, why are you paying yourself and the top people large bonuses rather than employing the people you laid off six months ago?
There you go. I'll put that on my call list. All right. Christian Weller, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, thanks as always.
Thank you very much.
All right. Doing the Lord's work over there.
That's right.
So they're progressing the center of they're progressing the progress in America and stuff.
Whatever.
That's okay. What they do. That's their bag.
Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. In news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story, Rick Santorum. Oh, good old Senator Man on Dog, we missed ye. He affirmed on an RNC conference call that he's considering a run for president in 2012. That a good idea. Mm. He took an ass-whooping in his senatorial race, by the way. He's considering running for president because he said the Obama presidency is injurious to America.
Injurious?
Mm-hmm. The dynamic has changed, Santorum said. A lot of folks might not have thought about running against an incumbent president are now considering it, including losers like him, apparently. Mm-hmm. He cited Obama's lower poll numbers. Oh, I guess he missed the memo that they've gone back up. Oh, well,
yeah.
Shh, don't tell him.
Okay, shh.
And his failure to transform and unify the country in the many, many months he's already been in office. We have, do we have Senator?
It's Rick Subliminal Santorum, with apologies to Kevin Nealon.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamic has changed. Thanks to the millions of concerned citizens, handful of crackpots, voicing their legitimate concerns, far right propaganda, about the president's injurious, radical, socialist health care agenda, perfectly reasonable plan that is the insurance industry pooping in their pants, Obama's failure to transform and unify the country has forced ordinary folks from all walks of life, racist, redneck, hydrocephalic, Neanderthal morons, to voice their legitimate concerns. He's black. Therefore, duty and conscience, insurance industry kickbacks, compel me to throw my hat in the ring for the 2012 presidential election. My constituents, lynch mob, and their families, incest, have voiced their concerns loud and clear. He's black. They want their country back, Confederacy, so they can once again enjoy conservative Christian family values, hot gay sex, that have been passed down through the generations, man and dog, so that the children, incest, can inherit their birthright birth defects and enjoy the blessings of hot gay man and dog sex. Did I say that out loud?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. I gotta go. Hot sex.
Oh, subliminal senator, you weren't supposed to say that part out loud.
No.
I was catapulting the propaganda. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that, was I?
And finally, aw, Tom DeLay hurt one of his little tiny baby feet on Dancing with the Stars.
He got an owie.
Hmm. He might, the baby cat might make special shoes for that.
Yes.
Baby We're Gap. Just saying, look at him. He's a big, shiny man with little, tiny feet.
Yep. He shops at the Baby Gap.
Mm-hmm. Less than a week before the Season 9 premiere, Dancing with the Stars has its first casualty, former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay. The Texas politician posted a message to Twitter saying, old age is catching up with me, may have a stress fracture in my foot, no worries. Oh. It'll take more than that to keep me off the dance floor. Oh, drunky. A dancing rep confirms the injury. It says DeLay is currently having it examined in Los Angeles. Doctors will determine if he can continue on the show.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I hope so.
Son of a bitch! This is supposed to be my big comeback! Comeback, damn it! And that whore Cheryl Burke worked me over so hard I broke my f***ing foot. And then we started dancing. Ah, that's kidding. What do I look like? Mark f***ing Sanford? Like I'm gonna go waltzing to f***ing Appaloosa. Like I'm gonna go to Argentina. Garfin St. Give me some credit. I don't even know how to do the tingo tonga. That dance it takes two to do. No! Seriously, this Cheryl Burke is hot stuff. Hot cha-cha. But she's no kale baby hushing. May Kaylee Fluffy. Snail Kaylee Huffing. The senior senior the oh, boy. Stare back. It's gonna be a gusher.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. Oh, Lord, if you'd like more Jim Walderall, there is
Jim
a... There's a tile app on StephanieMiller.com.
Yes.
All right.
Go there.
By the way, we refer to Tom DeLay as Drunky McPuke Shoes if you've just tuned in because he is frequently drunk.
Yes.
In our opinion.
Allegedly.
Much like he was on Hardball a couple of weeks ago when he wanted to see the president's...
Will you ask the president to show me his gift certificate? I mean, it's a gift certificate. Uh-huh. His birth certificate?
You know that I'm Tom DeLay because I give a certificate to the baby guy right here for shoes.
I think the president's gift certificate was re-gifted.
Look at these little shoes, Chris. Look at these little curly dancing shoes. I got them at the baby guy.
He got it in Kenya and then he re-gifted it to Indonesia.
See, that's why the best comedy is, because it's
true. That's right.
It is true. Yeah. All right. And also because he cannot pronounce the senior senator from...
Kay Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
Another round of Rob Roy's.
Oh, found out what's in a Rob Roy.
Oh, yes.
It is scotch and vermouth.
Ooh. Ooh, that sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Right. Mike, my right-wing
tequila
love...
and Goldschläger.
Mike, my right-wing love muffin in Iowa on the censure of Joe Wilson. Hello, Mike.
I wouldn't go quite to a love muffin just yet.
All right.
But...
maybe a mini muffin. How about a little one of those mini muffins?
A muffin top.
Mini muffin be good. Mini muffin be good. I'm not condoning what Joe Wilson did. My concern is... the liberal press got all spun up, but I didn't hear anything concerned when the Democrats, during President Bush speak, shot decorum out the window when they started booing.
There's always been booing, Mike. There has always been booing in speeches. You know, no one is saying that this has not happened, but what happened on the floor of the House has never happened before. You realize that in the 220-year history of the body, no one has ever shouted something to the president's face of that. They've censured all kinds of Congress people for saying things like that just on the floor of Congress, not even during a presidential speech. So,
right.
So how is it okay to say it's all right to scream at the president?
I didn't say it was okay.
Well, then why wouldn't he apologize on the House floor?
Sudden, why all of a sudden is decorum such a big thing when we tolerated the booing? Why don't we say, hey, enough is enough?
Booing is different, but, Mike. I'm saying there has been booing on both sides for years.
You're interrupting the president of the United States. If you don't agree with him, fine. After he's done, you have your chance to go to the floor and discuss it.
Mike, do you really think this is okay? Say there's a Republican president elected the next time. I would be saying this if the president were Republican. I don't think you can stand, you can do that on the House floor during a president's speech. I just don't think you can.
And I'm agreeing with you. But why haven't we chastised when the Democrats, and I don't care if it's been done
but it's
before,
not just the Democrats that have booed. Republicans have booed. You know, I'm not saying, you know, of course that's impolite. But, you know, this obviously is different. You saw it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you understand how that's different. Screaming, well, you lie at the President of the United States during a speech is not the same thing as general grumbling or booing, which both sides have done during mm-hmm. speeches.
So then it's just a different standard now. So
No, it's not a different standard.
All right,
it's the same damn talking points over and over again. This is a different situation. This is not some random rally pancake breakfast thing. This is on the floor of the Senate during a major address.
I can't believe we can't even agree on this. There's only one thing we can agree on, and that is it's 22 minutes after the hour. Stephanie Miller Show, right back with more on the Joe Wilson resolution as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, that is so my humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Representative John Yarmuth, a Democrat of the great state of Kentucky, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline in just a minute. Let's go to Jerry in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jer.
Good morning,
Hello.
Steph. Good morning, Mooks.
Yes.
Jim, congratulations on your Emmy.
Thank you.
Listen, I was motivated to call in by your last caller who's complaining about people booing, the Democrats booing in the past. If people weren't paying attention to Obama's speech, the Republicans were booing during Obama's speech. Nobody's talking about booing. Booing and clapping is what they do. Clapping interrupts the president's speech. It's when you insult the president from the well of the floor of the House or the Congress.
Well, that's the thing. I have no patience for people that are trying to pretend that this is not different. Anyone that saw it, you know, knows that this was improper. And that, you know, there needs to be, you know, some sense of decorum restored.
Yes.
Representative Steny Hoyer yesterday.
And that issue is whether we are able to proceed with a degree of civility and decorum that our rules and our democracy contemplate and require.
Thank you. Joyce in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Joyce.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Just wanted to mention that this morning on the Morning Joe program, Joe Scarsboro, the issue of the racist undertones of this whole debate came up. And Joe Scarsboro indicated that he has never heard Glenn Beck nor Rush Limbaugh say anything that was racist.
Oh, I see. Except calling the president a racist. Other than that, and about 1,000 other things. Sure, nothing like that at all. Wow. Representative John Yarmuth, Democrat of Kentucky. We will talk about the Joe Wilson resolution, health care, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
At this point, champagne just sobers me up. Let's go eat some martinis.
33 minutes after the hour, what everybody's...
Or Rob Roy's.
Mm-hmm, or Rusty Nail. What everybody's talking about this morning, former President Jimmy Carter.
I think an overwhelming portion of the intensely demonstrated animosity toward President Barack Obama is based on the fact that he is a black man. And I think it's bubbled up to the surface because of a belief among many white people, not just in the South but around the country, that African Americans are not qualified to lead this great country.
Oh, what does he know about people in the South? Oh, wait a minute.
The House formally rebuked Representative Joe Wilson yesterday for shouting, "You lie," at the president during the speech to the joint session. If only there was someone that was there. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Stephanie. Good to talk to you. And don't forget mint juleps.
That's right.
Mint julep.
Mint juleps.
Yeah. I should have had one in honor of former President Carter this morning.
Right.
If we had a veranda, we'd be having mint juleps.
Representative, what are you? What is your take on? Because obviously, other House members said things like this about on the floor yesterday as well. Yes, during the review. Go ahead.
About Jimmy Carter's statement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious to me. I mean, you know, growing up in Kentucky. We have our share of that as well, and I actually made a speech a year or so ago during the primary season, because we had in one poll after our primary, 22% of the people had said that race was a factor in their vote, and so, you know, there's no secret we're dealing with that, and I know there was a lot of chatter this morning that maybe he shouldn't have said that maybe it's incendiary, but that's reality. It's not everybody who's out there opposing President Obama's policies, but it's also, I think, part of this stop the world, I want to get off syndrome that's out there, which is, you know, the country's changing in a way that a lot of people don't like, and it's all the xenophobia and immigration and a conglomeration of a lot of factors.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. You know, you have to look at it, I think, in context. You're absolutely right. It's not that Joe Wilson yelled something racist necessarily, but, you know, you have to look at in context at who he is, and this is the first president that has ever been disrespected like this.
Oh, absolutely. And I was one of those who actually said I wish we would just drop it because it's distracting from the actual debate on health care reform, which is much too important. But the more I thought about it, and after having the vote yesterday, I think it was important because he did disrespect the Congress. And while he expressed his apology, even though it was begrudgingly to the president, he did have an obligation to the House. And
right.
And also he's utilized it. He's exploited his misbehavior to raise money, which is even more disrespectful.
Well, exactly. I think that's what's made it worse is that he sort of, you know, doubled down basically on what he said and used it to fundraise. And I think you're absolutely right. It's about precedent. I just think you can't set this precedent and go, okay, well, that's okay.
Right.
Anyway, but and also, I think, you know, it also, we had Congresswoman Edwards on earlier, and it's not like this has stopped the people's business. I mean, every time the Republicans disagree with something, it's a stunt, it's a sideshow, it's a stopping the people's business, it's a distraction.
Yeah, well, it would be nice if they had anything they wanted to do.
Yeah. It's like, okay, we'll give you the floor.
That argument.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, once again, we find ourselves in, you know, confusing headlines. I've got one headline that says Democrats push for public option, and the other one that says Snow urges Obama to drop public option. We've got John Rockefeller saying he can't vote for a bill that doesn't have it in it in the Senate. Where are we with this? Lynn Woolsey, our friend, said, you know, there was a meeting at the White House, and he said the caucus was saying there will be no health care reform out of this caucus without a public option. So where are we?
Well, I think that's very true of the House. I don't think that there's any chance of getting a bill through the House without a public option. Not only, you know, we have 85 or 90 single payer advocates who want something much more dramatic in terms of reform, and they're not going to support anything that just says, okay, we're going to turn it all over to the insurance companies and give them 40 million new customers and let it go. So I don't think there's any chance. I think the strategy right now is let the Senate do what it's going to do and try and get a conference committee that if they don't come up with a public option. But, you know, Senator Harkin, and new chairman of the HELP Committee, has said that he's guaranteeing a public option.
Mm.
So they've got their own battle over there, but I think we're going to go ahead. We'll create a robust public option, and then we'll fight it out in conference if the Senate doesn't provide one.
Congressman Yarmuth, what is your take on either the trigger for the public option or the co-ops, if that ends up being what the compromise is?
You know, the co-ops are an idea that sound better than I think they would actually end up being. Co-ops could work very well in certain areas, but as a nationwide solution, I think they would not work. I know, for instance, if you tried to do a co-op in eastern Kentucky where there are very few providers and there's no money, it would be very difficult. But again, in some places, I know in Washington they were effective, and in some places in Wisconsin they've worked. But as a national solution, there's no possibility. I actually offered a compromise proposal to the White House at the end of last week
to, that's not what I want, but in order to get two Republican votes in the Senate, maybe he could do it. And that is to guarantee that in every exchange, there is a nonprofit, non-investor owned option. And it could be the state actually setting up an insurance plan, like converting their high-risk pool into a state-run insurance plan. So the states would have some flexibility in creating these exchanges as long as there was a nonprofit, non-investor-owned competitor. I don't know whether that would be effective enough to get a couple of votes in the Senate or not, and that's not my preference. But the trigger... even if you went to something like that or a co-op, you're going to have some kind of fallback position with a federal plan because there are too many people going to fall through the cracks. And one of the things I really liked about the president's speech last Wednesday was that the fact that he was going to provide or proposing an immediate high-risk pool nationally so that the people who are in the cracks now get taken care of. I think that was really important.
I want to get your take on Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
I hope we don't have to do this, but if we can't get the 60 votes we need, then we'll have no alternative but to do reconciliation.
What do you think about that? That's what Howard Dean said this weekend is, look, we need to get real health care with a real public option, and, you know, if we need to do it with 51 votes, we should do it.
I don't have any problem with that at all. I mean, it's pretty clear that this is not going to be a bipartisan solution, even if they get one vote. It's pretty clear, I think, to the nation that the Republicans are not planning to participate in the process and don't really want to. The filibuster is a parliamentary tactic. Reconciliation is a counter parliamentary tactic. So I don't see anything wrong with using one parliamentary tactic to combat another one. I mean, you still end up with majority rule, which is what most Americans understand.
And I think he made the point that most Americans, I mean, first of all, they aren't even paying attention. They don't know what reconciliation. They want health care reform. You know, you look at the polling. I mean, it's like, oh, they did it through what? You know, it's like,
I was in a meeting of some small business people this morning, and I said to them, you know, after 5 weeks in recess and talking to people, it's pretty clear that in order to get everybody on board, you're going to have to market this on a one-to-one basis because, you know, everybody's concerned about how it affects them. That obviously is impossible. So we're going to have to just bite the bullet, do whatever we can to create the best plan that we can possibly construct, and then hope that the American people buy it. I think they will, but I just don't think we can worry about convincing everybody we're right before we do it. And I don't think only 12 Republicans voted for Medicare in 1965. I don't think there's any Democrat regrets having voted for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the position that I think we're going to have to take.
Yeah, and I mean, our position up till now has been having to just like knock down right-wing lie after another. Would you like to do another now? Here's Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican.
Oh, my friend.
It includes massive cuts in Medicare, tax increases on individuals, and tax increases on business. I don't think that's a package that very many Republicans are going to support, but Senator Grassley and Senator Enzi can speak for themselves.
Well, he's my senator, you know, and I'm his congressman. But let me say two
awkward.
Things. Let me say two things about Mitch McConnell. One is that he's been running around the country at town halls, not in his own state, but in other states, and knocking government involvement in health care. When he had his coronary bypass surgery in 2003, where did he go to get it? Bethesda Naval Hospital. Mm-hmm. He didn't take the private option. He took the public option, and now he's knocking that.
Yep.
So it's a lot of hypocrisy there.
But address some of the things he said, because, you know, polls show, unfortunately, you know, Republicans have succeeded in scaring seniors on this plan about cuts in Medicare.
Right. And what's fascinating, if you can believe this, H.R. 3400, which was the legislation that the Republicans were waving on the floor at the president the other night, how do they pay for their plan? They do cuts in Medicare, waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicare, the exact same strategy that we have in our bill. They're not as specific as we are, but that's the main source of payment is out of Medicare. So they're criticizing us for doing what they're proposing to do in their own legislation. I mean, it is rank hypocrisy and disingenuousness.
Yeah, well, I guess we couldn't read the fine print, but they were waving those things. We were too distracted by the yelling man on the floor.
Right. Well, I was intrigued when they did it. I said, I better look at that bill, and I went to it. And I actually said to John Bader the other day, I said, John, you know, half of this bill is exactly what we proposed. Effectively, he said, yeah, I know. So,
wow. That's some good inside dirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing that they're being, well, I mean, that's just, illustrates how uninvolved they are and how much they...
So what you're saying is John Boehner is a giant hypocritical blowhard. Is that what you're saying on the Stephanie Miller newscast?
I don't want to get disapproved on the floor.
Yeah. I'm tweeting that to everybody. All right. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, thanks for taking time for us.
Anytime, Stephanie. All right. Good to talk to you.
You too. There he goes.
Wow.
I was this close to getting them to call him a jackass.
Yes.
45.
And then there'd have to be a rebuke on the House floor, blah, blah. Blah, blah,
blah, blah,
blah,
blah,
blah, blah, yada, blah, yada, yada. I think Yarmuth was trying to avoid all of that.
44 minutes after the... My job is to trap people into getting in trouble. 44 minutes after the hour, back with more. Boy, race heating up again this morning on the Joe Wilson thing and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Makes me sick in a wonderful, wonderful way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Allison in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President. Hi, Allison.
Hi. Regarding the Joe Wilson's outburst during President Obama's address on health care to the joint session, I challenge those who justify, rationalize, and minimize Representative Wilson's outburst with statements that the Democrats booed Bush during joint sessions, because I listened to Bush's first State of the Union, which was in 2002, a full year after he was in office, and the audience was subdued. Here we have President Obama, who is not even a full year in office. When President Bush took office, our economy was good, and we were at peace. When Obama took office, our economy was on a downward spiral, and we were fighting two wars, one of which is a war of choice, George Bush's choice. Yet just once after Obama took office, we have the Joe Wilson incident. And I don't recall ever seeing legislators carrying protest signs to joint sessions as happened at this last session. So we need to compare apples to apples. Compare Bush's first 9 months to Obama's. Oh, that's right. We had just been attacked nine months after George Bush took office.
And Allison, you know, again, you don't have to tell people. We've watched, you know, George Bush's speech, other presidents for years. You have never seen this. And, you know, you even remember the speech about the run-up to the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. And here he is talking about sending thousands of Americans to die on information that he knew at the time, and I think a lot of people in the Congress knew was bogus. And no one stood, you know, as we've said before, I wish someone did stand up.
Yeah.
In that particular case, you know, and say that, but they didn't. That's the thing, is they can spin this however they want. I saw, who was it? Oh, Larry Elder on TV last night.
Yeah.
Just like they have their talking points all just running off all the time. Oh, well, Nancy Pelosi said this once, and Harry Reid said that. Not on the floor of Congress during a presidential speech to the president's face. It's like, and you're not. I'm not defending everything any Democrats ever said about someone on the other side.
We're going to get more calls like that, the same talking points.
Yeah. Buddy in Columbus on Congressman Wilson. Hello, buddy.
Hey, the big thing on Joe Wilson and the people defending him, you know, how disingenuous could they be? I listened to these guys trying to defend him. They talked about health care. They talked about illegal immigration. They talked about whether the president was right or wrong. None of it had a damn thing to do with the cost of tea in China. What it was is Joe Wilson broke the law, the rules of the House.
Right.
You know, when he went in and raised his hand and swore in, part of the thing is I will abide by the rules of the House. And you're not allowed to do that.
Right.
And he went right ahead and did it. And I don't know if you've seen it yet. I mean, the guy's even released a videotape with his wife.
Oh, I know. Have you seen that with the sappy music behind it?
Yeah, and then his wife goes, I met him at a teenage Republican camp. And
yeah.
I just
wasn't it touching? It was just, I don't even know what kind of sappy music it was. I met Joe at teenage Republican camp.
Oh!
After the president's speech, he called me and I said, Joe, what idiot yelled that out? And I said, why, honey, I did. Oh, didn't you just want to barf?
Well, you know, in the end, when she said, well, you know, it's the Democrats who are causing the trouble, and he just had to do it because he got so riled up in the town hall.
Yeah, he had what my son calls a town hall moment. I said, oh, Joe, whatever. Like, it was like a friggin' Walton's episode. All right. Representative Hank Johnson, Democrat of Georgia, yesterday.
It instigated more racist sentiment, feeling that it's okay. You don't have to bury it now. You can bring it out, talk about it fully. And so I guess we'll probably have folks putting on white hoods and white uniforms again and riding through the countryside, intimidating people.
You know, here's what I think would be really racist is to ignore that there's anything racial going on here.
Mm-hmm.
That to me would be really, disrespectful to all of us, not just to black people, but to go, what, we don't have eyes? We don't see the Confederate flags and the racist signs at these rallies?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, this is not about, because what the right will say is, oh, anyone that's against the president's policies gets called a racist.
No.
The racists against the president's policies get called racist.
People carrying swastikas and Confederate flags.
And pictures of President Obama dressed up as a witch doctor with a bone through his nose.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Representative Diane Watson of California.
They are spreading fear, and they're trying to see that the first president who looks like me fails.
Thank you. Clark in Arizona on the resolution. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Clark.
Honestly, I think that when race isn't, it's not a prevalent racial slur or prevalent racial thing, I think you water down the race card. I mean, it's getting so people just ignore it when it is racism. You exaggerate all this racism. I think what Joe Wilson did was disgusting, and he should keep his mouth shut and show some protocol and have some respect for the president. But I don't see anything racist, and I see race.
I'm not saying what he said, Clark, was not inherently racist,
right.
But you have to look at the big picture. At this rally this weekend, there were lots of Joe Wilson for President signs, along with Confederate flags and other disgusting racist slogans. He is a guy that is a member of the Son of the Confederate, whatever they call that organization.
Veterans.
He is someone that has made racist statements in the past.
Okay.
I'm just saying, this is our first black president. Okay. It is the first time this has ever happened. I mean, come on.
You don't have to call someone an N-word to be racist. You can do it in a very underhanded way, like Joe Wilson did.
Hey, I fully understand that, but you know what it's like when this guy here in Arizona carried that assault rifle? He was a black man, and they said people with guns. It was one gun. It was a black guy, and that wasn't racist, but they tried to portray it as some kind of racism by not...
Who
did? This was a black man here at this Phoenix rally.
Right.
And no
who called his race into...
Was that racist because he was carrying an AK-47?
No.
No. I don't think anyone... Who called him racist?
Oh, well, you should hear the talk shows.
Oh.
Randy Miller or Randy Rhodes.
Huh?
Randy
we got married.
Hey! Not here in California.
Let's go to Rain in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rain.
Hi, congratulations to you and Randy.
I know, I'm so excited. Please send us a blender.
No problem.
I don't even know where we're going to live yet. I think she lives in D.C. and I live in L.A. Oh, we'll make it work. All right, go ahead, Rain.
I'm actually looking right now at the rules of the House for the Republicans, and I want to read one thing regarding speech.
Okay.
And it says, it is not permissible to use language that is personally offensive to the president, such as referring to him as a hypocrite or a liar. So...
Yep, thank you. Against the House rules. Thank you. That's all we're saying. It is Hump Days with Hal.
Yes.
Comedian Hal Sparks joins us live all next hour. And Robert De Niro has some thoughts on the new movie they're making out of the board game Battleship.
Oh, okay.
Don't ask me why. We'll find out why in Tinsel Talk next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel
I thought that was really inappropriate. You know? I mean, it's like she's getting an award. What are you butting in? I hear you. I agree with you.
Is that kind of the first question?
The young lady seems like a perfectly nice person. She's getting her award. What's he doing up there?
Why would he do that?
He's a jackass.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, that's great.
What a bunch of jackasses ABC are for tweeting that. Oh, am I on already? Hal Sparks, comedian extraordinaire, joins us live in studio Hump Days with Hal.
Well, thank you. Hello. I heard what you said about me when I was gone, but I approve.
I say things about you all the time.
Oh, do you know?
Before the interviews actually start. Don't I, Chris? Thank God you don't tweet them to him.
Yes. Well, sometimes he does, actually. Yes.
You traitorous bastard.
Well, what is it? Fair warned is forearmed or something? Yes, forewarned is forearmed.
So it was Terry Moran, right, that started this. He's the ABC reporter.
Sure.
This is, you know, before the interview starts. I mean, you know, you can go, okay, anybody that has a microphone on, you've got to know that you're not off limits. But this is the President of the United States, and they know it's a pre-interview. And so he tweeted it immediately that the President said this. What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's interesting that Obama, he gets caught swearing off mic, and it's still a cute, completely acceptable in front of your kid swear word. It's only, you know, he went, golly, he's just not a nice person. It's the equivalent of, I mean, jackass is the most, you can
say that. There's a show name that.
Yeah, exactly. You can say that anywhere. So I think that's kind of fascinating. And secondly, he's right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Isn't it amazing, like, just the difference in what everybody knows people say behind closed doors, and then immediately you act like,
clutch the pearls.
It's a clutch the pearls moment.
Oh, my goodness.
Where's the fainting couch?
Right, exactly. Well, the funny thing is, you know, and as far as the Kanye thing is, a complete win for Kanye. Let's not have any illusions that this didn't help Kanye on all fronts. Who cares about Taylor Swift right now except the ladies on The View? Kanye's on everything. He ended up opening Jay Leno's show.
Yes. He helped Jay Leno, but only for one night. And ladies and gentlemen, the ratings fell 34%.
Right. Well, you know, as you do.
No, he got 18 million viewers the first night. Yeah. The critics...
Exactly.
Because he had
him on, you know, giving this big crying apology. And Kanye is never going to sell any records to people like Taylor Swift and vice
versa.
You know
what would have been bigger if he would have admitted having sex with Hugh Grant's hooker? See, that would have also...
Sure.
And he apologized for that at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, his girlfriend's in a weird, crotchy kind of photo spread this weekend.
I don't believe that's a word.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Oh, it is if you see the photo spread. She's fully dressed.
Spread
that's
me.
Crotchy.
Yeah, it's very crotchy. It's, Kanye's, it's a very strange thing. I want to say it's like GQ or something is showing, like, this is Kanye's girlfriend, but it's very strange. Anyways.
Yeah. But as you say, he is a jackass.
What a jackass
thing to do.
Absolutely.
What the hell was he thinking?
He was thinking, this show is going away. Nobody cares about the VMAs, which is absolutely true. And I'm not going to get an award tonight. How can I make this a win for me?
Yeah.
And he did.
I was saying earlier, I feel like a crotchety old woman. Mm-hmm. That's a different kind, not crotchy, crotchety.
Oh, yeah, I know the difference.
But I don't even have kids. I'll show you the difference later.
Oh, yeah? Wow. The most direct one yet. I'm making progress, ladies and gentlemen. I am making progress.
But,
just look on
honestly,
face.
But when you look at it, I think it's all together, right? It's between Joe Wilson and the Kanye Wilson and the Serena Williams. You're like, what? We're becoming a nation of asshats.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. It's the reality show kind of programming that, especially with MTV. You look at, first of all, why is MTV having the Video Music Awards? They show videos from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. That's like A&E having the infomercial awards. Secondly, they play reality shows, which are all predicated on the biggest jerk making the biggest stink in the stupidest way.
Right.
And then they surprise when that kind of behavior bites them in the butt on the VMAs, you know, or any of their other shows.
Yeah. We're trying to have a respectable show, and you guys are acting like, what, reality?
Well, in the right wing, like Glenn Beck, they're making a living on it. Like, what stupid, idiotic, jerky thing can I say now that will
totally.
Just get attention?
Oh,
right?
Well, I mean, between Drudge basically fomenting a race war and Glenn Beck, you know, really all he does is set nutcases loose and then try and backpedal legally. You know, so
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's insane. And as far as, and Wilson is a racist, period, end of story. Not everybody who hates Obama is a racist. I will say that unequivocally. Some of them are paid to be racist. Yeah. They are actually paid by pharmaceutical companies to show up and act racist.
You know, voice DD Jim Ward has won an Emmy. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I announced it on the air when I was filling in for you.
So please, don't interrupt him during Tinsel Talk and try to ruin his moment.
I won't.
This is my moment. My once-in-a-lifetime for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. How, movie star extraordinaire, Universal has set July 1st, 2011 as the release date for its movie Battleship. It's based on the board game, directed by Peter Berg.
Cool. Does one theater actually face the other theater? And then we have the...
B-12.
Yeah, right.
Miss.
All right, sorry.
All right. You sunk my Battleship. Robert, I'm sorry, what's that? How does Robert De Niro have a comment? Yes.
In a time of war, nothing is more serious than a film based on a children's board game. Jack Nicholson and Robert De Niro star in Battleship, the movie.
Hey, listen up, wise guy. J-10, huh? J-10.
You can't handle J-10. Here's A-4.
You talking to me about sinking my battleship? Well, I'm the only one here. Okay, you sunk my battleship a little bit. You sunk it a little bit.
Battleship. The movie. This one will probably sink the studio. Unfortunately, coming soon.
Oh,
it's so good. And Chutes and Ladders is coming. That's going to be so... The plot is so convoluted, though.
Chutes and Ladders, the movie. Life. Yahtzee, the movie.
Operation, you hit my funny bone.
Right.
All right, the newlywed game is going to add same-sex couples.
All right.
The Game Show Network's newlywed game will make history this year by adding same-sex celebrity pairs to their format. The network, in the midst of producing celebrity newlywed game episodes, one of which will feature the first gay contestants ever, George Takei, friend of the Stephanie Miller Show and friend of Stephanie Miller, and his longtime partner, Brad. They're married now. All right. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the Game Newlywed Game. I'm your host, Chuck Wood. Let's meet our contestants. You know him from the hit TV series Star Wars, and the Force is definitely with him today. It's George Takei.
First of all, it's Star Trek, and it's pronounced Takei.
Whatever. And his partner, who's he, what's it? His name is Brad. Don't you people do any research?
Yeah. Don't get your panties in a twist.
What did you say?
Look, if I wanted to be insulted, I'd call Bill
Shatner.
Don't you mean Shatner?
No.
I said Ner, and I meant Ner. And you are working my last nerve, Chuck, if that is your real name.
And now, our first question. Where is the craziest place you have ever made love?
Oh, no. You have got to be f***ing kidding me. You did not just ask me that question.
Time's running out.
No, time is up. It's over. Like your sad little career. No wonder Ellen turned this piece of f*** down. Come on, Brad. Let's go where we appreciate it. The Speed Network. Let's get our rides pimped.
It's got a sound effect palooza.
That was a little nightmare. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends.
Oh, my.
Jim perfected that at my Christmas party where George Takei and Brad came in.
Yes,
and said, Merry Christmas, Stephanie. Brad and I brought you some wine.
Got you some wine.
I think he's picked it up from you, actually. He does it more now. I think
he's doing it.
When he was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here or whatever, like everything, they had him eating, you know, whatever, alligator testicles or whatever it was, and every bite was, oh my. I'm like, you're doing Jim doing you. That's, you're going to rip the space-time continuum. You're going to kill us all. You're going to open up a wormhole.
You're going to mix matter and antimatter.
Oh, my. I've destroyed the universe, Captain. Oh, my. I am Jim. Jim is me. I don't know.
I am the Bizarro Sulu.
All right. Dueling decays. All right, President Obama will make the first appearance ever by a sitting U.S. president on David Letterman on next Monday's show. He will be the sole guest on the broadcast.
Very exciting.
And but he presumably will know that he's on mic the entire show.
Yeah, absolutely. But on Letterman, Letterman will say jackass how many times? Do you think they're in the crowd? That'll be the punchline to every joke in the
what
monologue.
What a jackass!
Right, right, exactly.
Paul, how are we doing on time, you jackass?
Yes, right, exactly. It'll happen, trust me.
Yeah. All right, Hal Sparks, you are a musician extraordinaire.
It's true.
We have a rash of operas. There's a Sarah Palin opera is coming out. Say It Ain't So, Joe. It's going to be at Boston's...
Say it ain't so, Joe, say it ain't so.
It's a musical take on the... It's actually a debate, the Joe Biden-Sarah Palin debate is
right.
Set to music. Not as good as the dance mix, however. Even more interesting. So go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's more like an off-Broadway musical than an opera. Yeah. It's like kind of what Mamma Mia stole our thunder. But I get it. I get what you're saying. Okay.
I'll bring that back to ya. You betcha. Betcha.
If you think that's not basis for operatic comedy, Alberto Gonzalez's Senate Judiciary Committee hearings have been made into an opera. And the genders are switched. The men are played by women, and the parts of Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi are played by a man.
All right.
Okay.
As you do. Because up is down and black is white, and no one knows what's wrong.
It's to draw attention to the male domination in politics, apparently.
Sure. Well, that's where you would do it, is in the Alberto Gonzalez hearings. I mean, nothing has drawn a more, a direct laser-like focus on sexual inequality like the Alberto Gonzalez hearings.
What?
Not the Ledbetter Bill, just the Alberto Gonzalez stuff. That's great. Okay. I totally see what you're saying.
I don't recall.
Should be called I Don't Recall.
Yeah, right.
All right, speaking of plays, Jeremy Piven has called in his lawyers over a stage show that mocks his bout with mercury poisoning last year. The Public Theater in New York is doing the Piven monologues.
Awesome.
Great.
A spoof of Last December when, you remember, he overdosed on the sushi.
Absolutely.
He had to drop out of Speed the Plow.
Yes, and much to the chagrin of people who hadn't seen it and who would go see it afterwards and enjoy it.
Is he going to sue Doogie Howser, too, for his comments at the Tonys?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I had mercury poisoning, as you know, and I somehow slogged through my little fart joke show every day.
Yeah.
I don't know how I did it.
And that's early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it is.
This is a play. Yawn. It's the same words every night. Get over it.
I love his lawyer. His lawyer said, we didn't say you can't do the play. We said you can't make defamatory statements about our client. Well, except the whole play is based on the fact that he faked mercury poisoning to get out of the
right, exactly.
Play.
Allegedly, and that's fine. Yeah. I'm sure they,
there's a whole First Amendment thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, you don't have the right. Have we not learned this with O'Reilly? You have the right to say whatever you want. You don't have the right to not be laughed at for being a jackass. Hear me, Kanye? All right.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, this is for the kids, this next segment. Hal Sparks has Edie McClurg stories,
I
have I have some Bea Arthur stories.
That's true.
Oh,
I also
boy.
Met and hugged Michael Moore last night.
Really?
That's true.
We're going to hear
it's
about
true.
That in Michael Moore's new film next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I am shocked and appalled.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, comedian Hal Sparks live in studio with us.
We only got 4 minutes to save the world.
Yep.
Jenna in Jenna in Los Angeles. You're on with Hal. Hi, Jenna. Hello, Jenna.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, this is Janet.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Hi.
All right, then.
Oh, first of all, I want Hal Sparks to be Obama's press secretary.
Thank you. Thank you.
Second of all, I want to comment about Joe Wilson, and I applaud the House for doing what they did. And as an African-American, it's disheartening to see everything that's happening. But what it is, it's just pure fear. They're afraid if Obama succeeds, guess what? We could have another African-American president or a Jewish-American president.
Or a woman.
Or a Mexican-American
right.
president. Mm-hmm. Or a female. It just goes on and on.
Or all of the above.
Please, yeah. You're giving us all the heebie-jeebies.
What if you had a black woman who speaks Spanish and English? Do you have any idea what that would do to this country?
It keeps a kosher house.
What if she was Wiccan? Oh, my God.
Yeah, like that was a coincidence, by the way. The thing he happened to yell about also had to do with illegal immigrants.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And he had to yell about it because that's one of his sales points for his campaign. And if it turns out, you know, that he's that Joe Wilson is making stuff up, which is the case, it takes away one of his talking points. And that's why he was mad.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Hal Sparks, yes. You saw the new Michael Moore film?
I did. I saw it last
Capitalism.
Night. Yes, it's fantastic. It is definitely in Michael Moore's wheelhouse. Content-wise, it will not be any surprise. However, I think because he deals with such a broad element of, you know, how Wall Street is run and stuff, that I honestly think even the Glenn Beck types will like it. It's interesting that this might be his most crossover film of anything.
Wow.
Because it is... I don't think anybody can agree, you know, can disagree with the fact that these guys are insane and greedy and dangerous, and that I think they will take issue with capitalism in quotes because they view it as a religion, not as a financial system. But the truth is, it's gut wrenching to see. And,
yeah.
You know.
And you had some other shocking news. You hung out with Michael Moore, and he's a very nice guy.
What a surprise. He was, you know, you'd think after making all these movies trying to get people health care and get jobs back to Flint, Michigan, and trying to understand why we have a gun culture that drives teenagers to kill each other and tries to find a solution to that. You'd think after that all that he'd be a jerk, but no. Interestingly enough.
As it turns out, he cares about people.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. Go figure. And he's a sweetheart. And it was a great, you know, I have a documentary that I'm actually working on, that I start shooting in November. And it was great. I really wanted to go and talk to him about, like, you know, the ins and outs of it, as it were, or whatever.
What is your documentary on?
It's called Finding Freedom. And it's about why America, even though we're supposed to be the bastion of freedom, think of ourselves as the leader of the free world and all that, that we're actually 27th in the World Freedom Index. And we're well behind a bunch of other countries in our own personal freedoms, what we're allowed to do and what we can, you know, do. And that's weird, so I'm trying to figure out why.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good
why
one.
Why can't we handle all the freedoms other countries can seem to handle?
Let's get to the more important news to America, and that is, what's up with Edie McClurg?
Oh,
Edie. You hung out with Edie McClurg last night.
Edie McClurg was there, which is fantastic. And I just wanted to sit and watch her pull pencils out of her hair.
Yes.
Edie McClurg, people will know from umpteen television performances, but also in Cheech and Chong's next movie and Ferris Bueller's Day Off and the woman behind the counter when Steve Martin cusses out the woman at the in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yep.
Genius, funny, so sweet, and a chatterbox who will teach you how to act in 10 minutes. She's great.
Wow. 28 minutes after the hour. I can top that with a B. Arthur story next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
As long as Stephanie Miller is here, let's party!
Yeah!
33 minutes after the hour, Representative Donna Edwards, who was on the show earlier today.
Mr. Wilson disrespected the office of the President of the United States, and President Obama is president, and we also know that he violated the rules of the House and that cannot be accepted.
By the way, don't you wish the President had called Joe Wilson a jackass, too? Kanye West is a jackass.
Yeah, exactly.
And so is Joe Wilson.
So Joe Wilson. You know, the funny thing is I think they're a little bit worried. Whenever they don't want censures of anybody, especially on the Republican side, because they think that's a slippery slope into prosecutions for real stuff.
Mm.
That if people get an appetite for actually, you know, handling, like, actually enforcing rules and laws, that they're on the bad side of that in the worst way.
Yeah.
So, that really is part of why they didn't want the censure vote to go through a bunch of them.
Herman and Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Joe Wilson. Hello, Herman.
Yes, I just wanted to make a note that the outburst of Mr. Wilson came out of being a xenophobic. He is against immigration.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a racist. That's all it is.
Right.
And what happened is that the people don't have the fortitude to come out and say what they really feeling. They are saying, you know, we are having a color president, and we don't stomach that.
Yep, absolutely.
They just don't have the fortitude. That's all it comes out to.
Well, absolutely. I mean, these are some people, by the way, that, you know, want a clause in the immigration, in the health care bill where legal immigrants can't even get benefits for however many years.
Right.
He's right. They're xenophobes.
Right. Well, first of all, when they say immigrants, too, by the way, they don't mean anybody from Canada. You notice they're not freaking out that, like, you know, these British people are coming over and taking our jobs. Like, and
damn Swedes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Hey, listen, Canadians are taking all our comedy jobs here in Hollywood. When's somebody going to do something about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When's the last time you saw a non-Australian leading man? What is going on? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Seal the border.
Anthony in Seattle says the callers on C-SPAN are saying Jimmy Carter's a racist.
Oh, it's crazy, Stephanie. And please, can I ask you a favor? Is it possible that you might be able to color your hair like a dark auburn?
Well, it already is dark brown. Why?
Well, like a red. Anyway, what I was...
I really even want to know why you asked me that. Are you printing out my pictures for some sort of use that is not approved?
I'm the official gay Gen Xer. I care about your look.
Oh, you just hate my hair. Okay, yeah, fine. I thought you would want to use my picture for something. Okay.
No. I think your hair is great. I think it looks very pullable.
He would give me a drive-by hairdressing if he lived near me.
Did you hear what Nell said?
What?
Back to politics. No, this morning on Morning Joe, on C-SPAN's Morning Journal, and on CNN, of all places, they're all attacking President Carter for his stance for saying that these teabaggers are a bunch of racists.
Of course they do, because anybody who lives anywhere near the South or I grew up in the South, knows that the South runs on a veneer. You know, and if you chip away at the veneer, they're afraid the whole house of cards will come down.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just be shiny and happy and fake.
You know, here's another moment, Anthony, where it's like this fake outrage. Like Hal Sparks said earlier, clutch the pearls moment. Like, there's racism in the South?
We're not post-racial now that we have a black president?
Well,
I thought
never.
That 22% of the populace who actually, you know, voted based on race is...
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
And I love the Glenn Becks of the world think they're, you know, they're confusing the rest. And President Obama's the racist. What? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And which part of himself?
White people.
Which half of himself?
Especially his grandparents and his mother mom, who he wept over at, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Jimmy Carter.
Luckily, she didn't hear that.
In case you hadn't heard.
I think an overwhelming portion of the intensely demonstrated animosity toward President Barack Obama is based on the fact that he is a black man. And I think it's bubbled up to the surface because of a belief among many white people, not just in the South but around the country, that African Americans are not qualified to lead this great country.
You may wonder why so many old people are showing up. Not saying that old people en masse are racist, but if you look at how civil rights move in this country and by generation, most of the changes make because the younger generation comes up and doesn't have a problem, and the old generation
goes... Same thing with gay marriage, same thing with a lot of social issues, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of chubby white guys in Confederate T-shirts standing outside, but they're not racist. I love how they go, not all the teabaggers are racist or whatever. You can't just blend us in because there's 80% of the people here doing really racist-y kind of things. We're not all racist. Well, then fine. Then don't say he's automatically a Muslim because he sat Jeremiah Wright's church and hates white people or something. Because, you know, I grew up in a Christian church. I was in one as long as Obama was. I'm not Christian, and I'm not anti-gay, and that's what they were pushing. You can think on your own, kids.
Yep, absolutely.
No, you can't. Shut up.
There's one thing
so you
to bring
just
us...
did. We've
what?
All learned a valuable
oh,
lesson.
Crap.
There's one thing to bring us all together. Some magical B. Arthur stories.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful.
That's a really good... Could you please say Walter?
Oh, Walter.
There you go.
Walter.
Heavyweights from the stage and TV gathered at Broadway's Majestic Theater to pay tribute to the late B. Arthur. These are some great stories.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur apparently was not at her best when intoxicated, much like Mama.
Yes.
And you could play some phone messages back, Chris, couldn't you?
Uh-huh.
I could play some phone messages back.
McClanahan said that when she met her husband, she said, Rue, I love. Betty's a C word. Just imagine it in the B. Arthur voice. She meant Betty White.
Yes.
Okay. A representative from PETA once talked about when she found out that she was going to get the organization's Lifetime Achievement Award. She was a big animal mm-hmm. lover. From no less than Alec Baldwin. After shedding a few tears, Arthur blurted out, "God, I want to him." Telling of the time. Adrienne Barbeau told of the time she and Arthur attended a small theater production in West L.A. And at intermission, Arthur announced in her booming baritone that the show was the worst piece of I've ever seen, but I can't leave the theater because everyone in it is a friend of mine.
If only they had shot a. But if the reality shows were around when they were doing Golden Girls, the behind-the-scenes extra footage of the Golden Girls would have been fantastic.
Oh, God, that
would have been
great.
I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to f*** him. All right. Here's a couple of celebrity stacks from the Department of No Sherlock. And that is Irishman Colin Farrell has a temper, apparently, Jim.
Colin Farrell, absolutely.
It's yes. a drink involved.
He lost his Irish temper and yelled in the face of a rude photographer because the guy had shouted at Colin Farrell's sister to keep moving so the press could get a clear shot at him.
Colin. Not Colin.
Pardon
Farrell.
Me.
Colin. It's different. Yeah. Yes.
Powell is the only one who pronounces it.
Yeah, he's the only person, yeah.
He said, don't be shouting at my sister like that.
Don't be shouting at my sister like that.
Don't be shouting at my sister.
Yeah. But I'm sure he used that word that B. Arthur used for Betty White quite a bit. I actually met Colin Farrell at a party in Toronto because the kid who played my son in Queer as Folk was in a movie with Colin Farrell, and they were shooting at the same time we were shooting. And Colin Farrell had this thing. I guess he'd watched a bunch of specials on apes on, you know, in National Geographic and how you create a kind of a hierarchy in primates is that you don't break eye contact. You make them break eye contact or blink first. So he will look you in the eye and then never look away until you do
That's
it.
That's creepy.
Yeah. And I watched him do it to a whole room of people. And then I was sitting over in the corner going, I'm not going to let him win at this. And so I closed my eyes for about 30 seconds. And then I, just to wet them as much as I could, and I opened them and just went, I'm holding them open, and looked right at his face. And he held my gaze. We were staring at each other for almost like a minute during this conversation while we were talking to each other until he walked across the room, came right up to my face to where like our eyelashes were nearly touching, winked at me because he knew I knew what he was doing, and walked away. And he was a sweetheart. I really like him. I like Colin Farrell a lot.
It's a weird story.
It is a very weird story, but it's absolutely true. And I think he's awesome.
You're the only one that gets me.
Yeah, you understand what I'm trying to do, and the rest of these guys all back down.
He had me at hello.
Yeah, right.
All right.
It's so hard not to do an impersonation and not drop the C-bomb every other word. It is so hard to do Colin Farrell and not do that. Right. It's like a leprechaun with Tourette's.
Exactly.
All right. Last one from the
leprechaun
last celebrity story from the Department of No Sherlock. Sylvester Stallone has had plastic surgery. Did you see this at the Venice Film Festival? His eyebrows appearing to be making a break for his hairline. He has
right.
a permanently surprised express.
You know, you get the work done, and then you don't go out for a year. That's the rule. Do we not listen to Michelle Pfeiffer? Do we not know now how you do proper facelift? You do a movie. That's where you get the money to pay for it. Then you get your facelift. Then you stay in the house for 9 months.
Right.
Then you don't go out in the sun for 4 months to keep the skin from ratcheting up in weird positions. And then you certainly don't go to a tanning salon. And then 2 years later, you do another movie, and people can't believe you had work done. That's how it works. Your face has they pull your face off. You have to give it time to heal. Do people know nothing about this?
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone had that look when the big Russian hit him really hard the first time. That was just
Burt Reynolds in the racing movie that he did where his crow's feet were going up like wings. It's like his eyes had Red Bull. Red Bull.
43 minutes after the hour.
That's the surgery that gives you wings.
Yes.
Back with the latest on healthcare reform and much more with comedian Hal Sparks as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. Yes. Yes. I love it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Avenue. 48 minutes after the hour. Oh, yeah. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number.
Comedian, oh, no!
Comedian Hal Sparks, you're going to Atlanta?
I am. I'm going to be at Atlanta at the Laughing Skull Lounge this weekend. And,
the Laughing Skull?
Yeah. I'm actually recording a stand-up CD this weekend.
Oh.
I'm recording my CD this weekend. Very... very exciting.
You could be there, Atlanta.
Yes, exactly.
And you also have an enormous log to promote, I understand.
It's true. I do have a big log to talk about. Starting this week, I'm doing, and it'll be up on the Stephanie Miller page that you guys have for me, whatever is my
website. StephanieMiller.com?
Yes, StephanieMiller.com.
In the Hal Sparks air area.
Yeah, area. I like that I have a Hal Sparks area on you. I mean, on your side.
You're in my very special area.
Yeah, I am. I am. She's totally missed the hair comment earlier. You're going to have to tell her later. All right.
Oh, what did he say? I missed it. Oh, there was a gay guy making fun of my hair.
Yeah,
and
I said I liked it. It's very pullable. Oh, we Sony cameras in here right now. The look is amazing. The noises are nice, too. There we go. All right. Cool. All right. So, is it hot in here or is it us?
Chew you up like a raw hide.
Oh, yeah, really?
All right. Anyway, your log.
Yes, it's my weekly monologue of, referencing the, the goings-on, the politics, the pop culture, the mix, the two, the thing. You know? So that'll be up, and you can, I'll be twittering about it and all that stuff in the coming week, but I'm very excited. It's going to be fun.
Fabulous. And tomorrow, a comedian, John Fugelsang, a comedian extraordinaire, will be in for Mama.
Yes, absolutely.
I will be speaking. I'm going to Orlando today. I will be speaking tomorrow at the United or the Unib.
Hang on.
What is it? The Unabomber Conference? The United Steelworkers?
Of North America. The United Union of North America.
Right. Oh, wow. That's
we're having a big do.
That's a big union.
We're having a big do. It's a big union thing in Orlando.
Oh, okay. Good. All right.
I don't know.
That's great. It's a much more specific. She's looking it up.
I got it.
She's got it's under
the Laborers International Union of North America.
Yeah, it's close. You're right. You got all the words, just in a different order. That's totally fine.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to steal.
I can blame you. I flustered you.
I'm going to steal a bunch of the president's lines because he just gave a speech. He delivered his most strongly worded speech in defense of organized labor since taking office, tying health care reform into his broader promise to rebuild the middle class and blue collar America. He drew a standing ovation when he said, "I've said one of the options in this exchange should be a public option." Write that down. Chris, as you know, I write all of my speeches on the cocktail napkin on the plane on the way there.
Well, how Lincoln of you. Mm-hmm. That's, you know what, that almost sounds like the sound of all the doctors in the country who also agree with the public
option.
3-1.
Thank you.
That's a bigger ratio, I think, than sugar-free chewing gum is good for you.
Yeah, that's good.
Like more as dentists go, you know what I mean? More doctors are for the public option than dentists are for sugar-free chewing gum.
The fourth doctor's a moron.
Yeah, what's up with the fourth dentist? Exactly.
Dentist, whatever.
Right, yes.
He's like, no, just eat Skittles. It's good.
Right, exactly. I need a boat. Yeah, clearly the last dentist is in it for himself. It's not that
he's a selfish bastard.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how am I going to pay for my kids to go to school if you guys don't eat, a lot of raisins?
As the president said, the fourth dentist is a jackass.
Yes.
He said the growing middle class will come by building a stronger labor movement. He went on to say, that's why I'm standing behind the Employee Free Choice Act. I'm writing all this down. Because if the majority of workers want a union, they should get a union!
Commie, socialist, pride, socialist, commie. There's a great scene.
I'm writing down all the standing ovation lines before the union crowd.
There's a great line in Capitalism, A Love Story. They show how ever.
This is the new Michael Moore film you saw last night.
Yes, indeed. The switch came. He really links to when the turn came of how they started branding Obama as a socialist. Right when he those Chicago workers at that window and doors factory. Held up in there for days to get a redress of their grievances, and he supported them. He came out openly and said, I think what they're doing is right. And that was it was like within 48 hours, that's when John McCain started going, he's a socialist.
And
they started
absolutely.
Pushing all that.
So, speaking of health care, Senator Max Baucus yesterday.
Well, I think there's a growing sense of inevitability this bill is going to pass. More senators want to vote for health care reform that passes than not.
I had two congresspeople on today with our continuing game entitled, Hey, Congress Critter, WTF with health care.
Right. Right.
Are we going to get the public option? Because you got two headlines today, Hal. You got Democrats push for public health care option. Olympia Snow urges Obama to drop the
But again, she's a,
option.
She's a Republican. She's they're not for it. They're not going to be for it. They don't want to be for it. They're fighting against it.
But they're not going to be for any version of it. The president said, I'm willing to compromise. I want the public option, but I want some compromise. And they're saying no trigger, no co-op, no nothing.
Everybody says they're the party of no. I think they're the party of fine by us. If you get kicked off your health care because you have cancer now, but you're getting kicked off because your husband or your boyfriend used to beat you, that's fine by the Republican Party.
Can you believe
that?
That's
fine.
That's a pre-existing condition.
They're okay with that.
You have a tendency to get beaten up, and clearly that's your fault.
Yeah,
so.
And so it might have led to a brain tumor, so we can't treat you or whatever. They don't care. Everything about this is fine by them. And that's they're cool with it. They're so pro-business, they have sold out every element of the American people.
Profit über alles.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Well, the other breaking news yesterday on healthcare is Democratic Senator John Rockefeller, who is on the Senate Finance Committee and a strong backer of the public option, said he could not support the committee's healthcare bill unless there are significant changes.
Right.
He said there's no way in its present form that I will vote for it. It looks like what they're talking about now are these co-ops,
in the Senate bill, you mean?
Yes.
I think in committee between the two is where it's really going to get hashed out, and I think there will be a public option in the last one, and I think they'll pass it with reconciliation. Because they're going to have to, and that's how Medicare got through in a lot of ways. There was no Republican support to speak of. Why should we expect any different this time around?
I love you because you're cute and you say everything that makes me happy.
Talk is cheap, but actions speak louder than words, lady.
Let's go to John and Eureka. You're on with Hal Sparks. Hello, John.
Hi. I'm calling about the Joe Wilson thing.
Yes.
It seems to me that the Dixie Chicks in their own venue said something about President Bush.
Absolutely.
The neocons, I'm Republican, I'm not a neocon, but the neocons tried to ruin their reputation, put them out of business and everything else for something that wasn't
at a concert.
In their own venue.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. First of all, I appreciate you think you're a Republican. You're actually a conservative Democrat now, because the truth is the Republican Party has been taken over by the neocons. That's pretty much all that exists, and it's a shame, because there used to be a point where you could have a Republican and Democratic discussion about real issues, and I appreciate that you actually are one of those kind of people.
To be associated with those folk, do you, John?
Well, that's the problem. You can't help it now, because they've co-opted the name. They call themselves Republican. They do nothing.
But, John, isn't that the, I think that's why the polling showed it was like, whatever, 85% of the American people think what he did was inappropriate.
Right.
It's venue, right? Nobody's saying that everything every Democrat has ever said about George Bush or whoever was right.
Right.
But they didn't shout it at the president during a
speech. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's just the same thing. If you can't say it on foreign soil, you can't say it on the, on the floor. It's absurd. So.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Kevin in D.C. You're on with Hal. Hey, Kev.
Hey! I don't know how much time I got, so I just say ditto. I'm a rambler, so I can't break this down except that, the Wilson thing. I don't know how much you have to do to be considered bad to Republicans. The hypocrisy we've detailed so much of, but what is the limit that they can do when they say, okay, you know what, that was messed up? It's like nothing they can do. They'll say, that shouldn't have been done.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you heard earlier, Kev, we were saying, John, the boner said that, this was a witch hunt. And it's like, he's not hard to find. He's the one with the hood. Not the hood. It's the guy that just has little light. Like, he's tan everywhere except for the eye holes.
Right.
The hood.
And as far as I know, in Salem, no one ever yelled out, I'm a witch, burn me! would have been counterintuitive.
All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. There will be a special area there for House Fox.
As there should be.
All right. Mama will be in Orlando tomorrow. John Pugelsang will be in for me. I'll be back on Friday. You can email us all at StephanieMiller.com.
Tell Carrie Top I said hi.
Jim Ward and Rebecca Baker. See you tomorrow. I won't. You will. On the Stephanie Miller Show.